Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, Michael.
UCR.
Are you ready for this now?
We're saying what we want. Give it to you, not God. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Everybody, happy Friday. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We're not sure what's going on with Blog Talk, but we've all been on hold and we've all been waiting for the show to start. So we apologize for the delay. Happy Friday. I know on the line with me tonight, I've got a couple of special, special people. I've got Michael Fishman in the house. Hey, Michael. I think he's there. I hope he's there. Well, I've got Daisy in the house also. Hi, honey. Hi, I was going to say, maybe it's just me. Am I all alone? No, I think Michael's on the line. Hey, Michael Fishman.
No, Fishy's not here.
Uh-oh. Well, hi, Jeffrey. What are you doing here?
I'm at a funeral, and I got your text, so I was trying to operate everything from my cell phone. I'm not sure how everything got lost in communication, but this has just been the week from hell for Uncensored Radio.
I know. We've had two times that they've kicked us off and now a delayed show. But we're here, and we're happy you're here, and I know you're busy, so you should go, and me and Daisy can take it from here.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go hunt Michael Fishman down.
Okay, perfect. I think he was waiting, so I'm not sure.
Daisy, are you
Hold
in the
on.
Screening room?
I am. Hold on.
Okay. It's the 39 something. It's a 3 number after the area code.
Uh-oh.
Michael Fishman, is that you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey! So we've got everyone finally here. Michael Fishman is in the house, Daisy's in the house, and yeah, we're fashionably late. It's Friday. I hope everybody's dropped.
Did Jeff go already?
Yeah, I think so. I told him to leave because I know he's in the middle of it.
I'm still here. I was just waiting. I wanted to make sure everybody got on because this is like my worst nightmare from hell.
No.
Yeah.
Go do your family thing.
Daisy, can you open
Hello.
The chat room? No, it's actually kind of good. Like, I have to tell you, like, this has been horrible. You know, I'm used to, like, the guinea funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody's, you know, somebody's in the parking lot smoking pot, they're drinking, you know, and everybody's, like, laughing and carrying on. And this was, like, the damnedest, like, I mean, it was, like, you know, the AARP convention. Like, I didn't know any of these people. Like, we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, what I wouldn't do for a joint or a shot. And then, like, it's just been a crazy evening here. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just need a beer, something, anything. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. And then, like, my poor grandmother, they made this video, and she's watching it. She's, like, clenching my arm, like, with the death grip. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to fall apart. So I kept it. I didn't. I kept to Jeffrey Doesn't Cry.
Aw.
But it was good. Well, like, I needed a little chaos from you guys to get me out of my funk. So thank you.
Well, I'm
well,
sorry.
You know, I'm very happy that you are not crying, and you sound much better than I expected.
I'm turning on my radio face for you.
Oh, well, I appreciate
no,
it. You definitely.
I'm okay.
You're okay? I know. I've been texting you all day, and I was like, oh, I know it's, like, crazy. So I was just like, I'm going to turn it on you. You never know what to say or to do, but you knew my love was coming your way, and it's so
yes.
great to hear your
Thank
voice because
you
sound
Thank all of
really
you.
Good. Oh, yeah, you sound really good in the state. I'm sure you've been surrounded by a lot of emotion today, but you sound fabulous.
It's crazy. Yeah, thank you. Tomorrow's going to be a little more rough, but it'll be good. So enjoy your show. I am going to go back into the restaurant, and I will talk to you guys on Monday.
Okay.
I'll fill you in. There was a little drama. I'll fill you in. Okay.
I can't wait.
All right.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Wow, Daisy to the rescue.
You know, it was so funny. I was in the car on my way to the grocery store, and I told my husband, I was like, stop, turn around, they're having issues. And I'm supposed to be on tonight. I have no idea who was supposed to be on the screen. No, I knew it was me, you, and then Katrina. And then Katrina just sent me a text and was like, something's come up. I can't come on tonight. And I go, well, is she going to cover for you? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, great. So I was like, well, it's me, Fishy, and Daisy.
That liar.
And then I thought, well, if it's me and Fishy can handle it. It's all good. But I was just like, who's going to be on so we know? And I don't know what intern was supposed to, you know, start us up tonight. But I literally been on hold for like 10 minutes, and Fishy was on hold for like 15 minutes. And we were all just like, what the heck is going on? And like, it was like 2 minutes till. And I'm like texting every single person, what the hell?
Well, let me apologize to any of our callers, because we have the worst waiting on hold music, because after 15 minutes of listening to that, I was like ready to jump out the window.
I agree.
That lady from Blog Talk, I want to shoot her every single time. 1 minute.
No. I know. She's pretty annoying. Very annoying, to say the least. So how is everybody's Friday? I mean, we're wrapping up the week.
Fabulous.
It's good. I can't believe that I'm doing a show on a night where there's playoff baseball on. You guys have no idea how unlikely this is.
I know. You love us. Now I know you really, really love us.
I'm glad.
That's like getting my boyfriend to not watch anything that's Lakers right now. Like, he's obsessed with the Lakers, Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant. Like, anything Lakers, he's obsessed with.
Yeah, I'm watching baseball in the background, so if I yell out, you know why. Nothing bad happened.
we won't worry. We will just assume that you have Tourette's or something, and we'll start vicious rumors. But other than that, you're good. You're my family.
I have to say, if there's any baseball fans out there, the first game that was on tonight, that was the worst call I've ever seen in my whole life. And as a guy who played a pretty high level of baseball and had coached, I've never seen a call that bad. It's horrible.
What
Somebody's
happened?
Seasoned. Well, there's an infield fly rule, which basically means if there's runners on first and second or bases loaded, the ball's hit, and the description is if it's hit and it's an easy play, basically. What they don't want people to do is drop the ball on purpose so they can get people out. And the guy hit a ball like 40 feet into the outfield, and then he and another guy miscommunicated, and they both dropped the ball. And the umpire, right as it's hitting the ground, decided to change the call and call it an infield fly, and essentially took away maybe the best scoring chance for one team in the game. And the game is actually under protest.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's the NFL. Like, that's like the NFL and all these, like substitute refs. Like, people were pissed.
It's amazing because somebody's season ends on it. Like, the one in the NFL was bad because it cost the team a game. But in this case, this may have cost somebody the end of their season. And, like, you start looking at it, it's like, I just don't know how you – there had to have been a way, and the fans in Atlanta threw stuff all over the field. There was like a 20-minute delay, which I have mixed feelings about because as a player I've been on the field when fans start throwing stuff and it's not pretty. But as a baseball person, you kind of understand why they're so upset.
Mm-hmm.
But just one of those things, you know. I wish they would just everybody feels the need to be so important. Like, they got to make a big call. It's like, no, just make the right call or make no call. No call's better than a horrible call.
Right. Right, exactly. Like, they don't have review or anything in baseball, right? Like, it's like, they can't, like,
no.
Go, okay, hold on, let's review this and let's talk amongst each other and make the right call.
They should, and in baseball it would be really simple because the game is slower than football or basketball or even hockey or soccer. I mean, the game, there's time between pitches. It would be so easy to just have an umpire who sits upstairs and watches 20 television monitors who just puts up a light or something and says, okay, you guys blew the call, hold on, let's fix it.
Uh-huh.
But they don't do that.
That's why Katrina would be really good at any sport, because she would never let any type of balls out of her hands. She'd catch all the balls. No, she's on the balls.
She's got that balls.
She'd do whatever she needed for them balls.
Sorry, but Shane, go ahead.
If they were Ranger balls, it'd be really exciting.
She's collecting.
You never know. Yes, she is.
Yes.
You know, some people collect, you know, symbols. She collects Ranger balls. I don't know. It happens. Judge.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
You know, to each his own.
She gives new meaning to she's got them by the balls, right?
Yep. Pretty much. She's probably going to kick my ass for saying all this shit. Yesterday she texted me. She's like, I'm going to punch you and give you another pirate eye. I was like, thank you.
She was really mad at you. I really, like, Daisy pissed Katrina off yesterday, Michael. You should have been here. It was hilarious. You want to tell them about it?
She was kind of mad because her phone kept cutting in and out, and so Karen was calling her on it. And then I said, I'll step in and be Katrina. So I started doing Katrina. I started going, well, I like them. What had happened was, and I like Rangers and fruit roll-ups. And I think she got a little offended. She hung up.
Oh, no.
She did.
She'll get over it.
And she was gone for like 15, 20 minutes. Like, she wasn't really, like, she was gone for a minute.
I don't know. Where is she?
Make the phone work.
Right. But, you know, she kept saying that we were having technical difficulties. Like, people were in the chat room saying, we can't hear you guys. So we just continued going, and finally it came back. We don't know what happened again. And it was like, it was just strange. Like, and then she was like, I can't get back in. So maybe I think she might have wanted to hang up for like a second to prove a point, and then she got locked out.
That's instant karma. That's what happened.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm going to make a point right now. I'm going to hang up. I'm so mad. Wait, let me back in. Hold on. Wait a minute. This is not how it was supposed to go. I was supposed to make a point.
Right. It's like, oh, like, I know. She kept, you know, it was hilarious. Like, that's so karma. It's like her little fit she threw in the middle of the show.
Hey, you can't be a diva otherwise.
Yeah,
right.
I feel so bad for Jeff. Jeff's having a rough week. I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. And everybody, if you're listening, you guys know you guys are family to us. You guys know Jeff lost his grandfather last week, and they're having the funeral. And it has been crazy hectic. You know how it is. And you probably know Jeff has every single person at his house, and he's just crazy. This weekend's going to be insane for him. So Monday on the show, if he sounds like he is out of his mind, he probably is. So,
yeah.
You know.
If people can send him some messages online and send him some tweets to kind of help cheer him up and help him get him through the weekend, it would be much appreciated.
Absolutely. Man. Well, as you guys know, we talked about it like a couple days ago. We talked about it yesterday again. I was watching, you know, I'm obsessed with TMZ, and I was watching it today, and they were saying, you know, Mariah Carey talked to Barbara Walters and said, I guess when Nicki Minaj was going through her rant and before she stormed off, she said something like, if I had a gun, I would kill that woman. Now, I don't know. I don't think that's like, I wouldn't be offended by anything like that because, you know, I think if you piss somebody off at some point, you'd say stuff like that. But supposedly, she's beefed up her security. Do you think she's full of it, or do you think she really needs to get an extra bodyguard or two?
Oh, no, you say that to me, you get beat down. I'm sorry. There's no patience for that. You're going to get straight up beat down in front of everybody. I will pull your weave out and beat you with it.
maybe that's like a rich thing. Like, when you got too much money, you call people to beat people down for you.
Yeah, that would not happen. I would be like, okay, did you just say you were going to shoot me? Let me explain to you how this is going to work out. I show you how I'm going to take care of it.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I know what to do to get my weave tracks pulled out. Daisy, what do you think?
No, nobody touches weave. I don't care what anybody says. Unless I voluntarily pull it out to put on Jeffrey's head, there's no weave removal.
No,
which
you threatened somebody.
On the reality show, by the way.
He kept complaining.
She's a trooper, this Daisy. I'm telling you, she's a trooper. I don't know where Katrina found her, but I want like three of her.
Karen just likes me because I overwork just like her.
Yeah. Daisy's great.
I have my hands in like 15 things.
She's the type of person, like, you can text her and give her, like, say, oh, Daisy, I'm trying to do this. And she would, like, be like, oh, I'll help you do it. I'll stay up all night. And what do we got to do? And, like, she comes back with, like, solutions and answers and options. And you're like, what the heck? she's the best. You can text her at any hour, too, by the way.
Well, she seems to be our producer who actually shows up and is on call and takes care of us, too.
Daisy, you are an unscripted radio producer. Like, I mean, uncensored radio. I'm like back 2 weeks ago. You're an uncensored radio producer. Daisy, you've got a new title.
I'm really excited right now. Just for that, I'm going to get myself a bottle of champagne to celebrate tonight.
Any reason to drink, right?
Well, before you get too crazy on your champagne, make sure you're careful which bottle you pick because, like the rest of us, not a high-paying position, so I don't want to get too excited.
Yeah,
it's okay. I'm a government employee, so I get enough just to get me by. You know, they make sure that we have enough for alcohol. You know, because that's basically what we need to work for the government. So you know,
yeah.
I'm treated okay.
I'm not sure if the chat room is up, so we're, you know, like I said, we're working by a wing and a prayer tonight. So I'm gonna try getting that up. I'm not sure if I know what I'm doing, but we'll continue talking and hopefully it'll be up before the end of the show.
Honey, the chat room's up.
Is it up? Why is my computer telling me it's not up? How weird.
I'm talking to LaShawna and Matt. And I think it's on. She says refresh your page.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what it is. You know me, I've got the ghetto connection here.
Now, have either one of you had to try and fill up your car with gas today? Have you seen some of this craziness that's going on out there?
Oh my God!
I refused.
I did. I'm so mad because I was gonna fill up last night and I didn't, and it went up 20 cents.
It's gone up, they're saying it's gone up like 15 cents every 3 hours or something ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's like highway robbery.
Yeah, they're
by
saying
my
it's
house,
gonna...
it's still cheap.
Really?
It's still, yeah, because yesterday it was at $3.99 still, and then this morning when I went to fill up for gas because I knew what was going to happen, it was at $4.23. And then when I went into L.A., because I was in North Hollywood today, too, because, of course, I work for the government, and I had to go out on the field. And it was at, like, $4.89. I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're saying the average in California right now is $4.85.
Wow. I got it at $4.50 today, and it was $4.85 across the street. And I was like, oh, my God, maybe it's a fluke. Let's just fill up. So we just filled up. But it was like, yeah, $4.50. I think it was $4.59, and I was pissed.
Well, I actually
because I think it was three something last night.
Yeah, I saw a place that was $5, and I've never in my life seen gas at $5 a gallon.
I knew it was coming though. Like I really think it's that this like you know how all summer long it's been like upper threes, fours, like it kept creeping over. Like I think now it's just going to be $5, and then we're all going to go crazy. It'll drop down a little bit, and then it'll just slowly creep back up. You know, it's kind of how they dupe you. Like, you get used to it, you know, and they just – I just think times are changing, and it's horrible. We're going to be paying $5 a gallon, and we're not going to know what to do. Like, gas is now a bill. It's like your car payment. It's a bill, you know.
Well, for me, it has been for a while because I do a lot of driving with work and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to a lot. a lot of money going towards gas, and I have to factor it in. You know, it costs more when I got to come do a job because I got to add this into my expenses, and it's crazy because in my lifetime, in our lifetime, I remember when gas was like 99 cents.
Yes! Yeah,
and it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. Early 90s.
But even like 10 years ago, it was a little over a dollar.
Yeah. I remember when the Northridge earthquake hit, we were at the gas station getting, we were getting gas, obviously. And we were going to school in the morning, and it was ridiculous. And I remember my mom bitching because she's like, $1.35, it's so expensive. And I still remember that. And, of course, you know, glass breaking, the little old Asian guy that ran the gas station running out for fear of his life. So $1.35, and that was, what, 92?
Wow.
93?
I think it was 94, if I remember correctly.
See? Well, even 94. That was from 94 now, so what, 16 years later?
Wow.
18? Sorry, can't do math today. Brain dead.
That's okay. I can't do math today. But what's crazy is that it's like nobody's making any more money. Like, you know, it's not like people are making leaps and bounds and more, so it's really, really hard on people.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, I don't know how there's so many people with really large vehicles. I don't have a small vehicle. I would love to buy one, but I can't do that right now. So I have to be really selective about where I drive and how much. And, you know, I think people don't realize how much freedom a car gives you until you're
right.
really limited.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't understand. I don't know. It just seems like life is getting tougher and tougher, and I don't know how you fix something like that. Like, you know, like it's just so much to deal with for people. And I mean, you have children. Like, I don't have children. So I know the burden is even heavier, you know, because you have other people and you have a wife and you've got other people to think about.
Mm.
That part's scary. You know, with kids, it's really scary because you start looking at some of the stuff and you get into that thing where you look around and you go, wow, it's a lot of stuff not going in the direction that one would hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very hard. I mean, the idea of what it would take to support a family in 15 more years. I mean, people are barely getting by now. I can't imagine. We've had such, you know, exponential growth as far as cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what would happen in another, you know, another 20 years. We're either going to have to become more realistic or people
mm-hmm.
are going to live more destitute than they are now, which is a scary thought.
Right.
But that's the thing, though. Like, people nowadays, they live completely out of their means. Like, they just can't afford certain things. And I know numerous people where, you know, they're driving the Mercedes, they're driving the BMWs, the nice cars, and they have these, like, huge houses. And they're letting them go because, you know, the market flipped and they're losing their house and they're losing everything. But it's like, if you know that you're losing something, why not sell the house? Why not sell the Mercedes? Get something, you know, get a freaking Honda, get a Civic, get you from point A to point B so that you can keep on working. And maybe try not buying the $200 pair of boots. You know what I mean? Like, but that's just society now.
Yeah, and that I would tell you that that's a huge problem in our society is, you know, as we transition from single income families to multiple income families where both parents were working, we didn't get more stuff. We ended up getting stuff initially, and then what happened is we just raised the prices because there was more affordable and expendable income. And
mm-hmm.
so it's really scary because you start looking at it and you go, we have a debt cycle in our country that I don't really think people – grasp, and it starts even with kids. We start them out, they're in debt. And everything we do is kind of built on this idea, buy it with a credit card. You know, credit used to be only as good as the person who trusted you at a store initially, and credit was a rarity. And,
right.
You know, now we all have credit cards, but in a store, if I bought something for $10 and I owed that person $10, it was $10, and I had to come back and pay them the $10 or they wouldn't sell me any more goods.
Mm-hmm.
The credit card thing is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
It's exponentially increased the cost of the thing. They charge you penalty after penalty after penalty, and it really taught, I think, most Americans don't have the self-discipline to
mm-hmm.
not buy that thing. You know, it's
right.
Really that idea of, you know, wait till you can afford it before you buy it.
Right.
And the one place where I have a hard time with the way some of our economic things have gone is, like, in my case, we bought a small place. I have no yard. We bought a place we could afford. And then housing prices started to go down a little bit before they took the big jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they took the big jump, people went in and bought houses they couldn't afford because they were on adjustable mortgages, and they bought places that they didn't qualify for.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way the system was, some of these loans were bad loans. And
right.
These
well, yeah.
Turned around and they bailed on these houses, and you go, well, somebody like me who bought a place and stayed in the place, there's no bailout or assistance for the people who did it responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
There's only assistance for people who got into a place that they probably overextended for and should have gone with a better, more realistic place.
Right.
Well, yeah, and they were going on stated income. So whatever you went in and said, you know, I can afford this house, this is how much I make, you know, they didn't really go into it like they did now. I recently bought a house now within the last 6 months, and it was a process, let me just tell you. I mean, they asked for a hell of a lot more things than they used to. And you know what? I didn't mind. I will give you everything that you need so that you know that I can afford this place, and I want you to put me in somewhere where I know that I'm not going to lose the house within the first year. You know,
right.
So you have these people where my parents used to live. They live in Downey, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a suburb of L.A., but it's kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, it's kind of hoity-toity. They have, like, these little mini mansions, and it's ridiculous, ridiculous, the prices that they were selling these houses for. The house on the corner from my parents' house sold for $2.6
million.
Woo! $2.6
million.
It is not Beverly Hills. It is not freaking Malibu. It is not anywhere near that, and it sold for $2.6 million. Needless to say.
And what do you think that house was worth 10 years ago or 15 years ago? $400,000 maybe?
No, probably about like $580,000, $600,000.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Okay, so
wow.
Now it has literally like quadrupled in
oh,
a
yeah.
short span. And people aren't doing better than they were 15 years ago. Like, one of my
absolutely
arguments
not.
Is always the one thing I would say that I think you, one of the reasons we see such a rise in bad behavior and people lashing out and doing horrible things is, although I would say the average person's quality of life is okay, our prospects are not good because people don't feel like they have a really viable future.
Right.
Because almost everybody's in debt, and it's a squeeze. It's a pressure squeeze that families are going through every day, you know, just trying to figure out, okay, which bill do we pay today, which bill do we not pay? Which, you know,
right.
what can we not take care of so that we can pay the things we have to pay?
Right.
To get food,
well,
or to get clothes.
Yeah, well, they say, like, people are at the gas pump and they're making life decisions. Like, they're like, okay, am I going to eat today? Or, you know, or is my electricity going to be on if I fill up my tank? Like, it's like crazy.
It is. And you know what? I'm going to put myself on blast, but I was one of those consumers for America that didn't limit my credit card use. And
mm-hmm.
I definitely learned the extremely hard way
mm-hmm. how to basically, I was in a lot of debt. I was in like $74,000 worth of debt. And
wow.
a lot of it had to do with, you know, I had an extremely nice wedding. I had extremely nice things and not
mm-hmm.
necessarily things that I needed. And I learned that later on, but I was really young. I was 23 when I had all of my financial where I was basically looking at my paycheck and looking at my debt going, what the hell am I going to do now?
Right.
And you know what?
I think that's mostly everybody. Izzy, you're not among the minority. A lot of people, almost everybody I know has been there.
But that's the thing, though. Like, most people just want to give up, or they say, "Oh, file for bankruptcy. I can't get out of it." I didn't do that. Like, because I wasn't brought up that way. I was brought up: you did something, you owe something, you pay it. That's just the bottom line. So I buckled down and I paid that shit off in 4 years. It was the
Whoa.
Hardest thing I ever did. Hardest. I mean, I was on, like, nothing to eat. I was, like, on bare minimum for gas. I was doing my own hair. I was doing my own nails. But guess what? I freaking did it. I didn't file for bankruptcy. I didn't consolidate. I didn't do any of that shit. And I have a new house and a new car.
Wow.
6 years, baby.
You're pretty awesome.
You're the example of what we need to do as a society in general.
Right.
I mean, like, that's what we need to do at every level, from the individual level all the way up through our government, is we can't keep just – you can't just keep buying the things that you want because you want them.
Yeah,
and
right.
And what we're hearing is from you is a tangible story of somebody who took personal responsibility
mm-hmm.
and stepped up and said, "Well, I'm not gonna keep going on that cycle, or I'm not gonna do what a lot of the other people are doing. I'm gonna tighten up. I'm gonna cut the things I can cut, and it's gonna be hard for a while, but I'm gonna make this work."
No, absolutely,
and it's really
impressive. Trust me, with Katrina being my best friend, it was not easy because that bitch likes everything expensive. So it was really hard. I was, like, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Like, it was really bad. But you know what? Like, I looked at it this way. I was doing it not only for myself but for my future. Like, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to get a new house. I wanted to get a new car. And you know what's funny is that when I bought the house, I didn't necessarily need a new car. I would have been fine with it except that it got horrible gas mileage, like 13 miles to the gallon, but I loved my car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really bad, and my commute was nothing before, and I said, no, since I'm going to be commuting like 80 miles a day, I need, you know, I need a hybrid. So
right.
it just so happens to be a Lexus, but it's okay.
You got the best hybrid out there.
You know what was funny?
Yeah,
it was one of those deals that you can refuse. No, but I was looking at the Prius, and for the same price as the base freaking Prius, I got a fully loaded Lexus. So it just, it was kind of like a no-brainer.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, because I kind of am of the mind that one of the things that happens, whether it be student loans or whether it be credit cards, when you're a young adult, all of a sudden you get offered, in the mail they start coming. Here's your credit card. Here's your thing. Oh, you'll be
yep.
able to buy this. You're like, okay, I need that for an emergency or you know, even sometimes you start them going, well, I have to build credit if I one day want to buy a car, a house,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And so
right.
you kind of, you know, you get in and it's really kind of a, you know, safe, quiet investment. I'm not going to spend too much money. And then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden something comes up. Or,
right.
You know,
which it always does.
You know, or you splurge a little. And then the next
yep.
thing you know, and school in particular, college is always one of those things for me. So many
yep.
people have such extreme student loans.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That some of those people never get out from under them.
No, my brother has $200,000 in student loans.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a pilot.
Wow.
And it's ridiculous.
And
wow.
we'll be paying him for the next 15 years. Like, and
more.
He doesn't have a bad job. You know, he has a good job, and he'll spend 20 years trying to pay off a student loan that I just don't think it needs to be that much, I guess I would say is my big complaint. Like,
yeah.
there's no justification for why college costs as much as it does.
Right.
I don't understand why. I don't understand why we have to pay for college. That's like my thing.
Right.
Like, education is good for everyone, not just good for the individual. Yeah,
right.
It's good for society, you know, to have somebody up there that actually, like, you know, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or even a Joe Schmo walking down the street. If you have a college education, guess what? We're going to be able to tell.
Right.
Because it's just that evident. And I really don't understand why you have to pay $20,000, $30,000 when it should be something that the state provides for free. I mean, that's out of the box,
right.
And I know that'll never happen, but that's just
right.
My mentality.
Yeah,
no,
I'm on the other side of
it. I think certain things in life should be a given. Like, you think about, like, I look at, like, people, and I look at poverty, and I look at crime. I really think, like, when you look at a person who is impoverished, like, they should be able to go to a doctor if they're sick. It shouldn't be a question. It shouldn't be a 10, 20-hour wait. You should be able to get medical attention. If you want to better your life, I think you should have the resources to learn how to better your life. If you don't want people stealing and robbing, give them an opportunity to educate themselves. But you're right. Like, college is so expensive. Life is so expensive. I know a couple of family members who they have children who have just graduated high school. And we saw them recently at, like, a family function, like a baby shower. And we were like, so what college are you going to? What are you doing? Because, you know, they just graduated this year. So now here it is. Like, I think it was, you know, September. So we're thinking, oh, they just started. And two of the girls were like, we're not going yet. We're not going to be able to go till December. And we're like, well, why not? You know, are you taking a break? And they're like, my mom can't afford it. And we were just flabbergasted. Like, we were just like, and this is like community college. And so these kids are sitting at home, you know, and I always say if you give kids too much time, they get into trouble. Like, it's almost like you got to get them out of high school and you got to push them right into the next thing, because it's like either they're going to lose the desire to go to school, they'll get lazy and complacent, and they go, oh, I don't want to go to school now. Or they're going to get, like, you know, caught up in something else. Or let's say they get a job, then they're going to go, oh, I don't need to go to school because I already got a job. But they've got, like, an entry-level job at, like, you know, Walmart. Or they, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to be working at a job that's going to really provide an income that they can live outside of their parents' home. So it's such a, like, vicious cycle.
But entry-level jobs are supposed to be like that, though. An entry-level job is supposed to be so you can pay for the next level. Originally speaking, I disagree that everybody should get to go to college. I adamantly believe that we've devalued our college system by just trying to assume everyone should go there.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, I think education should be available. We used to do a better job in high school. A high school, if you look at, like, the exit exam for, like, the 8th grade and then 12th grade exit exams from 150 years ago, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that most college graduates would not pass that test because
sure,
the education
right.
we used to get was so superior. And the reality
right.
was
overcrowding. You're not getting one on one. They're just throwing it at you. And if you get it, you get it. You're
yeah,
right.
But we were never getting one on one. A big part of it is the way that education has always been the same, in my opinion. And it's something I preach to my kids. You get out of education what you put into it. You have to
true, but I think, like, back in the day, there weren't, we didn't have, like, overcrowded classes. Like, you could, you know, I think there was a little bit more control. Nowadays, you go into a classroom, and there's, like, 50 million kids, and it's just, it's a lot on a teacher. And they're just they're underpaid and overworked, and so they're just not, I don't see the attention, you know, to detail.
And that's where I disagree, because I worked at a high school. They're not necessarily underpaid. They get advantages on mortgages. There's ways to make a lot of money as a teacher. And I'm not
really?
Talking about as a private school teacher. I'm talking as an average public school teacher. There are allotments you can get. You can get discounts on your mortgage. You can get discounts on your insurance. There are a lot of programs that you can take advantage of that people
don't. But
that's
only if you're tenured.
No, well, and again, I think tenure is a bogus thing. There's no other job in the world that I can have where I automatically am given a job for life solely because I worked. And 10-year, just the implication of the name, I know it's not spelled the same, but it kind of implies you've been there for a while. The average time it takes to get tenure now in this country is 2 years. Any job I do for 2 years, the first year I usually don't know anything. Somebody's training me. The second year I'm still on good behavior. Now, somewhere between that second and the third year, you have to make a lifetime commitment to me. You don't know me yet. So it's ridiculous that we make a commitment to someone for life, for a position, and then there's no basis as far as how do I perform long term. And I've gone to every extreme in the education system. I had a tutor on set. I went to public schools. I went to public schools in a decent area, in like a middle class area. I went to public schools in a dirt poor ghetto environment. I went to an elite school. Basically, I got in and I was given a scholarship because I could play baseball. And so then I was on the elite level. And I'll tell you, the biggest difference was the mindset of the people in the classroom. And it's the mindset, you know, when you live in an inner city and you don't know what's going on and there are drugs and gangs and half the people in your class have other much bigger family issues, it's really hard to talk to that person about, you know, 3 years from now you need to keep your grades up so that you can maybe get a scholarship.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's like you've got so many other things like survival.
But that's the family's job to step in. The government can't do that job. That's one of the few places where the government is never going to be effective. If you want to understand education, you got to come to a board meeting or something. Like, I had to sit on these boards where we would fight over how we spent our money or who got what allotment. You have never seen education until you've watched teachers and administrators fight over money. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but I still think, even though it is a family job, I don't take that away. I agree with you on that. But I still think a lot of families are broken because they don't have the opportunity nor the skills to even apply for a job that could help them survive just basic things in life. You know? It's like I always go back to education. I believe if you teach people – it's almost that theory, if you take a horse to water, you can't teach them how to drink. But if you give people skills, and whether it be a college education, whether it be, you know, a trade school or whatever, but you give them skills, they will find a way to make money. They'll find a way to survive. They'll find a way to, you know, put back into society. But it's like if you have people that are just in that vicious cycle where all they can do is they have no opportunity and it's just riddled with pressure of life. It's like you have these kids that you couldn't even have a conversation with them about college because they've got much bigger issues at home.
Yeah, but that's a choice.
You know?
It's a choice. I'm telling you, it is purely a choice as far as what you want out of this lifetime, especially in this country.
I do think it's a choice because I am someone who kind of came from nothing, but I also think I was given certain opportunities. And it was, you know what I'm saying? So I do think it's part choice and it's part upbringing, but I also think that, I don't know, I just really think that a lot of people aren't given the same opportunities, and it's not fair, you know. And I do agree that education, on a higher education to a certain level, should be free. Now, maybe you become a doctor, but I do think you should get something. You should get something. And a college, it's almost like a high school diploma means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. You should get something.
But that's what we did to it.
Get you going. Like, it's almost like you walk out with nothing and you've wasted all this time.
But it didn't used to be that way. We chose to make it this way, and I argue just the opposite.
I agree.
It's not fair. Life's not fair, and it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not everybody's job to walk around and try to make it fair for every person. It's the individual's job to go and seek the things you want. Like,
but you don't think the government hasn't set it up to kind of take away from the poor and just provide more for the rich? Like, that's like the biggest thing that I think, you know, and they're, I mean,
well,
we all know, like, the middle class is depleting. Like, it's almost like the poor and then there's the rich. It's almost like the middle class isn't there.
Yeah, but neither party has invested in the middle class, and nobody is investing in their neighbor. And the reason nobody's investing in their neighbor is you can't invest in your neighbor when you don't have any extra money. It's like giving to charity. Everybody should give to charity, but you should give to a charity, whether it be money, time, or goods, but you should give it to a charity that you believe in and that you physically can see them doing the work. Like, one of the problems with the idea that the government's going to do it for me is the fact that some areas the government's really good, and there are people. We should have short-term welfare. We should have some form of food for poor people so that children shouldn't go starving in this country, not if we're really about what we say we're about. But that being said, like, Karen, I think you're amazing, but I don't know that you would be as amazing as you are if everything had been given to you. You're a fighter. Part of fighting comes from digging in, getting dirty, and doing what you have to. I mean, listening to Daisy's story tonight about how unbelievably far in debt she was. That's what I'm saying is you said, okay, forget it. I'm not going to go get my hair done. I'm not going to do all these what socially other people deem as valuable. I'm going to value what's really important. See, people have more money than they realize. Like, look, when I went to schools and I lived in the inner city, guys would have $300 tennis shoes, but then not have any money. You know, Stefan Marbury came out with shoes a few years ago called the Starberry, and he mandated to the company that they were only going to be allowed to sell them for a price that was reasonable. So nobody wanted them because there was no elitist connotation to having them. People still wanted their Jordan. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Culturally speaking, we used to value hard work and earning what you have.
Right.
Anytime you give people things blindly, what you get is the good people take advantage of the program and use it for good. But the lazy people just take it. There's no incentive for some of these people to move past it, especially, like unemployment. The idea is wonderful. We have such a high level of unemployment in this country. It actually has gone down, which those stats are good. But they're not livable wages. And I would tell you most people are unskilled. And most people, like we talked the other night about you and Jeff telling yourself when you go into meetings that your desire is what gets you through when somebody asks you about a college degree or about filling in a box. You have a skill that's superior to whatever piece of paper somebody else wants to argue about.
Right. But
and
you know what? I'm gonna cut you off real quick because I worked in unemployment. I was an adjudicator for the state of California, so I adjudicated all of the claims that came in. And there are programs, especially for somebody that goes on unemployment and say it's a skill that's not being used currently in the labor market because we have that information. We'll send them to school. The state will pay for it. Give them an employment, give them a school for free, and give them a certification to be able to go out there and get another job. So the whole thing that you know, they're not skilled or whatever, that's remedied already. The state was aware of that and fixed it. Now, there's a lot of people that – pardon?
If you take advantage of it. But there's a lot of people, unfortunately, who don't.
No, they don't. Yeah.
You can't carry those people. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
I agree, but I also think in the same breath, there are a lot of people who are looking for opportunity. And, you know, maybe they don't have the information or maybe they don't have, you know, maybe they don't have the support system, you know, to help push them, you know, especially at a young age. I think it's kind of, you know, I don't really think that
everybody's just lazy. I think a lot of people are down and they are out, but they also want to change their life. Like, I am inspired by a lot of people who want to change their life, but don't have the means to do so, you know?
Yeah, but we do such a poor job of encouraging people for changing their lives in the right way. And what I mean by that is that I'm not saying everybody's lazy. I'm saying our goal is inferior from the standpoint of half the people that I went to high school with, their main thing is I'm going to be a pro ball player in some sport. Okay, the numbers are so ridiculously against that ever happening.
Or I'm going to be an actress.
All of us, we're all chasing a dream in some ways, but the difference is each one of us is succeeding because we have another job. We haven't just
do Uncensored Radio, and we didn't just do Power Rangers and Roseanne. We've been doing a lot of other things in between jobs.
And what I'm saying is the opportunities are out there, and there are people who will find you if you work hard and if you keep working at what you want. But what happens so many times is we have adopted a universal idea, and part of it is what we sell to the youth of our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lindsay Lohan and all these pop people that we talk about, they're considered ideal, and they're rich and famous, and we propagate that that's a great life. Meanwhile, these people are unraveling and clearly unhappy.
Yeah.
Right.
What we should be selling to these kids is go to school, do your job, learn a life skill, because in this country we are losing our – I work part-time doing construction and, you know, electrician work and things like that. Most people I know don't have the skills, even people working in those industries. The skill level is different because people used to internship or you do an apprenticeship and you learn from somebody who's really good at it.
Right.
Now we just get it done. And on a large scale in our country, we have adopted this, is it done, then I can move on. And we adopted it in education.
Right.
You know, working in a high school was a devastating thing for me. I've never seen more money wasted. We spend more per student now than we have pretty much at any time in our history.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of that money doesn't make it to the classroom.
Doesn't, because they're required to spend it for other things, like buildings and paving the friggin' parking lot when you don't need it, when you need books or computers. I understand completely it's a waste of money.
How do you take that? Like a lot of the school districts, you don't take the middle bid. One of the school districts I worked for, they only took the top bid. So companies would come in, they would all bid. The most expensive bidder would get it. It would go to all the way up. We would have to go all the way up through the chain to Sacramento, come all the way down through approval. Then it would go out to a company, and that company would then turn around and hire the lowest bid and have the lowest bid company do a half-assed job and not do the job properly, and they would pocket the difference in the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have contractors who have deals with local school districts who just so happen to be related to somebody else in the school district. And that's not a unique situation. Unfortunately, what we really need to do is audit how we spend our money. Because I think individually I would tell you that there are certain areas in this country from a government standpoint that we should lose money. You're always going to lose money on education, but you're getting a greater good out of it if you invest in the kids properly. You're going to lose money in defense. You're never going to make money on your defense budget, but defense is for our own safety. So, you know, police and firefighters, first responders, you're going to lose money there. But I want those people in place.
Right. You know what? I could sit and listen to you. You're so smart, and you've got so much knowledge. I can listen to you all night long, and I know our listeners would love to listen to you all night long. One day we're going to have to just extend the show to, like, 4 hours and listen to Michael. But we've got to go. We're at the end of the show. I want to thank Daisy. And I want to thank you, Michael. It was such a thought-provoking show, and although we don't agree on everything, it's our job to agree to disagree. And that's what Uncensored Radio is about, is having many different opinions. So thank you so much for tuning in. We're so sorry for the glitch tonight. We swear we'll have it better next week. We've got a lot of work to do this weekend.
Jeff, Karen,
thank you.
Good night, everybody. You guys are welcome.
Everybody have a
great evening. Somebody owes me a drink. Make it day.
Unstoppable original. That song is so catchy. Bye-bye.